This came, it's a story, I can't quite like that story, it just came to mind, and I thought, well, this question, well, what are we going to do with this talent for happiness in ourselves? So I can make my life much happier, because I can learn how to respond and avoid at least, you know, grosser aspects of craving and aversion. I'm happier as a result. Maybe some of the people I'm in contact with also benefit. Is that all I'm going to do with it? What would happen? Well, what would happen is that I will get reborn in the God realm. Something equivalent. So is that what our system of meditation and what the Dharma is really about? Well, no, it isn't, is it? But so it sort of brought to mind, I think that was at this point I started thinking, it's not just a mandala of happiness that we need to be aware of, it's also happiness as a crucible. So there's that's one link, of course, with alchemy. Alchemy, precursor to chemistry, but more complex, but something new, you know, it's just something new that's being created. Alchemy is about creating something new, but you use heat. It's about transformation. It's about purification. And the alchemist has got to be purified as well. Otherwise, the experiment won't work. That's part of the whole view that's behind it. So you put certain things together, you get rid of the impurities, you purify them as much as you can, but you also purify yourself, and you bring into being something new. But what's the concern of the alchemist? It isn't just, you know, a new bit of chemistry, a new material, say. It's easy enough to do that, not hard at all. But it's newness of a completely different order. The alchemist is concerned with truth. He's concerned with a search for truth, a search for eternal truth even, or eternal life in a certain way. And it's a new order of new. When the newness happens, it's of a new order. It's not just something more of the same. It's something completely, completely different that happens in the crucible of it that the alchemist uses. So that's led my thinking onto something different, I suppose. It's about, another thing that came to mind was Mahabjanapati's question to the Buddha when she said, could you just tell me how we recognise your teaching? Because there's all these different versions of it going around. And got the answer. Well, it's whatever conduces to simplicity. I haven't got the whole list here, but simplicity, wanting little, stillness, solitude, contentment, conduces to energy, not sluggishness, conduces to delight in the good, and it conduces to non-attachment. So once we've got some facility with positive emotion and the Brahma Viharas, then we maybe should be asking ourselves, well, is our practice of the Brahma Viharas leading us into that kind of space, that kind of space that the Buddha was indicating to Mahabhajapati? So what do we do if we create a talent for happiness? What are we going to do with that talent for happiness? Have a happy life? Well, yes, why not? But on what basis? Just me? Just mine? Just my immediate concerns? People that I'm immediately concerned with? Do I use that talent to stay on familiar ground? Or do I use that talent for stepping into the unknown? So this whole idea of the crucible of happiness, I think, moves the way I was thinking about it more towards the connection between positive emotion and spiritual death. And I think this business of mindfulness and metta being two sides of the one coin actually can be a trap. It can be the launching, lots can flower and blossom out of it. But in a way also, you can just set yourself up so that actually you're just so much happier and focused than you were before. That is, it's great. It's tempting just to settle into that, just to enjoy that. It's not there's anything wrong with it. It's a happy human life. So I suppose that actually brought a thought into my mind about that's why there's four aspects to the system of meditation, not just two, because you need to bring in this aspect of spiritual death and then spiritual rebirth as a consequence. So keep happiness for ourselves. We try and, that's what we boil down to. We just try and keep happiness for ourselves. I think not. I don't think it would work. Auntie doesn't think it would work either. And one place that I'm going to just read it's a poem, it gets the point of this. It's just the uselessness of trying to keep happiness for herself. Hour after hour, day after day, we try to grasp the ungraspable, pinpoint the unpredictable. Flowers wither when touched. Ice suddenly cracks beneath our feet. Vainly we try to track bird flight through the sky, trace dumb fish through deep water, try to anticipate the earned smile, the soft reward, even try to grasp our own lives, but life slips through our fingers like snow. Life cannot belong to us. We belong to life. Life is king. So, keeping happiness to ourself isn't going to work even if we try it. So, what's the response? Could we think in terms of a responsibility of happiness then? One of the thoughts I've had, and it's partly out of meditating, but it's partly out of just thinking and reflecting a bit. It's partly out of travelling, actually, because I think this one happened in Fiji. was that there is a responsibility to happiness. In a way, if you practice the Brahma Viharas, you gain that happy. You do gain a stiller kind of centre to yourself, something that's a bit more reliable than perhaps what we've had in our lives up to then. You do gain immensely from that, but it brings a responsibility. It brings a responsibility to act for the highest, to act from the highest level of awareness that I am capable of. That's what I came into my mind as. Particular experience did happen in Fiji, that I thought, well, I was feeling getting the rewards of meditating really, and felt very much connected with life all round about me, and it's, you know, effusive, effulgent there. I mean, everything, you know, every space, something grows in it. It's green, it's beautiful, beautiful flowers, everything. And I had this very, very strong sense of connection. I was me, but I was also as much what I was looking at out the window of this bus that was on. And actually, I had tears streaming down my face. It was so strong, this feeling of connectedness. And it was as if that was it's a gift from the universe. Incredibly beautiful. And very, very strong feeling of connection and belonging, I think. And certainly incredibly beautiful. And the thought that came into mind, not immediately but afterwards, was, there's a responsibility that comes with that. It's like my side of the bargain is I act then, having felt this, I should try and act from the highest level of awareness that I'm capable of. Everything else that I was looking at and feeling connected with, trees, flowers, it's also their responsibility, but they're not capable of such a high level of awareness as I am. So it's my responsibility to find that in myself and then act from it. That's my side of the bargain. The universe side of the bargain is that it gives me beauty and connectedness. So I think there's these responsibilities of happiness, and it's part of where things can start to transform, where this sort of crucible of happiness can in a way come into its own and do what it's meant to be doing, what it really could do. And I also think there's a certain poignancy to this image of a crucible of happiness. I'm happy, see. Others are not. Every time I'm happy, somebody isn't. Somebody else isn't. There's that poignancy to it.